Easter and Good Friday, we've been looking at the various characters of Easter. And this morning, we're going to be thinking a little bit about King Herod. And we've been looking at some of the songs from Jesus Christ Superstar and thinking, what does a secular musical have to tell us about the way we approach God or maybe the way our neighbors approach God? So this morning, we're going to hear Herod's song in a little bit. But I was just kind of wondering, when we say we have a relationship with God, why that is? Like, what is the reason that many people want to connect with God? And I have the feeling that it has a lot to do with what God can do for us. And maybe if we're really honest, we would say that in our lives, we really want God to be kind of on our agenda. In the gospel, we read about James and John. And in Mark chapter 10, it says this: James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "Well, what do you want me to do?" And they said, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." And I don't know if you relate to that sentence in there, but there's that one sentence in there that says, "Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask of you." And I think this morning that is maybe a little bit more of us than we would want to admit. And I think it's a whole lot of who Herod was. Herod desperately wanted to meet Jesus, and mostly he wanted to meet Jesus because he wanted to see if Jesus could do some kind of miraculous kind of stuff, and maybe Herod could control that somehow. And so on the night Jesus was betrayed, on the Thursday before Good Friday, he appeared before Pilate. Pilate discovered Jesus was Jewish and thought, well, maybe I can get rid of the whole problem if I send him to Herod, the king of the Jews. And so in Luke, it says this: when Pilate heard that Jesus was Jewish, he asked whether Jesus was also a Galilean, that is, from the north. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time, because it was Passover. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see some miracle done by him. And so a song from Jesus Christ Superstar, it's set in a different time than Jesus, and it's one of the more upbeat songs in the musical. But listen to the words and just wonder to yourself a little bit, maybe, are these some of the words that echo my heart as well? Well, I'm not sure what you came here to hear this morning, but that maybe not have been it. But interesting, isn't it? So you're the Christ, you're the great Jesus Christ. Prove to me that you're divine, change this water into wine. That's all you'll need do, and I'll know it's all true. Come on, King of the Jews. Or, as the disciples said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And I just wonder this morning if miracles are part of our world, if there's this almost expectation that God will do whatever we ask of him. Interesting how that ends, where he gets so angry when the miracle doesn't happen. And I wonder if that happens in our lives as well. When God doesn't do what we think he should do, if there is anger and turning away from him. There's a danger, isn't there, in wanting God to be under our control. Having an expectation, if you want, that God will do miracles for us just sort of because that's who God is. I went on Joel Osteen's Twitter account. I don't have a huge issue with Joel Osteen. I just think that he tends to be one-sided in this area of miracles. And the following three tweets were on Monday when I was there. He said, "The scripture says if you'll acknowledge God in all your ways, he will crown your efforts with success. When you declare favor, God will move people out of the way to make room for you. Favor will bring opportunities. Favor will promote you suddenly, unexpectedly. Things will happen that you didn't see coming. The favor of God is bringing healing, freedom, vindication, and victory into our lives. The only interesting thing about that is when the disciples come to Jesus and say, Jesus, we want you to do whatever we ask of you, Jesus didn't respond with a simple, well, of course, yeah, what were you thinking? When he asked them what they wanted, and they told him they wanted glory when he comes in his kingdom, and they want power, and they want all the good things of life, it says in there that Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup I drink, be baptized with the baptism with which I am to be baptized? And they said to him, yeah, we are able. But Jesus said to them, the cup I drink you will drink, and the baptism with which I am to be baptized you will be baptized with. But to sit at my right or my left is not mine to grant. It's for those for whom it's been prepared. And the cup that Jesus was talking about there was the cup of suffering, the cup that he was going to drink on the cross, if you want. And in Gethsemane on that Thursday night before Good Friday, when he was praying with drops of blood, he prayed, Father, if you're willing, remove the cup from me. Not my will, but yours be done. And I think out of that, there's a lesson to be learned. And the lesson is this: when we have a relationship with God, we are going to have far more blessings than we ever imagined and we ever deserve. But we are also going to go through challenges that we are not prepared for. That there are going to be those times where we drink the cup of suffering and we're going to find ourselves in a spiritual battle because we've aligned ourselves on God's side. And the question is, how do we handle blessing and how do we handle the challenges that come our way? Because I think the thing about miracles is we think if we just had God's blessing, everything would be okay. I was reading a book last week about, well, it doesn't matter what it's about, but it had a chapter in it that started with this. The author was talking about his favorite TV show, and it was a show from the Twilight Zone, if you remember that show, called A Nice Place to Visit. And it followed the story of this guy by the name of Valentine, who was a scrappy burglar who got gunned down by police and was killed and was guided into the afterlife by this affable Englishman in a crisp white suit. And to his great surprise, Valentine's surprise, he's ushered into this opulent New York penthouse. It's stocked with everything, bespoke suits. It's got a full bar. It's he's showboating around town. He's going to the casino and he wins every time. There's socialites, there's money, there's power, there's sex appeal. Everything he ever wanted is his. And yet in time, the novelty begins to fade. And his joy withers to boredom and the perfect longed for existence becomes entirely unfulfilling. And Valentine finally turns to his guide and he says to him, you know, I don't think heaven is for me. I think I belong in the other place. And the guide simply responds, what makes you think this is heaven? And it's this idea that we believe that if God would just answer our prayers, if we would just get all the miracles, then everything would be wonderful. The reality is that we're going to live life in challenge. We remember this morning that genocide in Rwanda, and I do invite you back tonight to be part of this, to learn more, to join in prayer, to be part of a conversation. But one of the challenges of Rwanda was that the failure of the churches, the failure of the churches to stand against the genocide, and even the failure of the churches to be places of sanctuary during the genocide. And I don't blame the churches of Rwanda. I think the church around the world struggles to stand up for those in need. I think the church around the world, in times of severe challenge, often finds its courage is less than what it needs for that moment. But not just the church, I think that's true for us as well, don't you? Aren't there times where you wish that we followed God a little more closer, that we were a little bit more like the image of Jesus Christ? And all of us are going to face this dichotomy of blessing and challenge. I think if it was all blessing, it wouldn't be what we thought it would be. But in the midst of challenge, we realize that we're not all we think we should be. And the question comes, how do we become the people God wants us to be in the midst of this? And I think it all revolves around our character and our identity. I believe that God has come as the creator and ruler of the universe. He's offered us this relationship with Him. He comes to equip us to handle the blessings of His miracles, and He comes to equip us to handle the challenges of life. In other words, He helps us to become the people of character who can do that. But I think character is the end of a three-stage process. I think character is the result of understanding who we are, of knowing our identity. And our identity is of that we are children of the King. So the picture, Edward VIII and Wallace Simpson. If you know something about British history, you know that when George V died, his son became Edward VIII. The problem was that Edward VIII had fallen in love with a woman by the name of Wallace Simpson, an American. Not that that was the problem. The problem was she had been married to a guy by the name of Win Spencer, had got divorced, had then fallen in love with a guy by the name of Ernst Simpson. And then during that second marriage, she met and fell in love with Edward. When Edward became king, their relationship had kept going, and she decided that she was going to divorce her second husband, and they were going to get married. And that was the problem. The king had this desire to marry a woman who had two living ex-husbands, and that threatened a constitutional crisis in England. And ultimately, in December of 1936, he abdicated the throne. He gave it up to his brother. And he went to marry the woman I love, as he put it. Now, we don't see the story the same way they saw it back then. But in his time, Edward had to choose between two things. He had to choose between his identity as a child of the king, who was to become king himself. And he had to choose between doing what he wanted, where his heart was leading him. And I think that's a pretty decent analogy for us. Jesus has come and died on the cross for us. He's come and brought us back into relationship with God. And we have become children of the King. But children of the King come with responsibility. And the reality is that we've all gone our own way. We've all decided that there's things we love more than obedience to God. And we've walked away at some point, and the whole story of Good Friday and Easter is how God has come to bring us back into relationship with Him. And how we're invited back as children of the King. And as we come back as a child of the King, we think, well, you know, the thing about life is that when we're forgiven for our sins and we're brought back through Jesus Christ and we're given the gift of the Holy Spirit, then everything should be good again. Everything should be back where it was. And the reality is that sin has affected our lives. And the rest of our lives will be a process of overcoming the damage that has been done in our lives by sin. And it will be learning our identity afresh. But it's going to happen through a process. It's going to happen through things that need to be done. So, recently I decided I'd like to get back into shape. I mean, I am a shape now, kind of football shaped, but I'd like to be a different shape. And so I joined the gym, and I thought that would be enough just by itself to melt off the pounds and add the inches in the right places, and somehow that isn't how life works. Maybe you've noticed this. You think the gym membership is enough, but apparently you actually have to show up and sweat. And I don't really appreciate that. You know, in high school, I did track. I was fast. As I got a little bit older, I began to do 10Ks. I was medium. And then I began and ran a marathon where I was slow. If I signed up for a marathon today, I would probably die somewhere on the 5K mark. Because no matter how hard I tried, I would not be able to finish that race in the condition I'm in. If I wanted to finish that race and if I wanted a time that was in, you know, single digits, well, I would need to faithfully do certain practices that would allow me to do through training what I could not do through willpower alone. I'd have to begin losing weight. I'd have to begin to run and to stretch. I'd have to start cross-training and bicycle and swim and weights and slowly start to build up the strength and endurance that I would need to finish the race. And I think if I started today, I could easily have that done in time to be the oldest runner in the 90-plus category. But I would finish the race. And I think there's something about that to the Christian life as well. We think when we come back, well, I will just become the person God made me to be. I'll just become, you know, the child of God. I will just become like Jesus. And we begin to realize that we can't do that just by willpower alone. We need a process that enables us to do what we cannot do by willpower alone. And that process, I believe, is in practicing the presence of God. It's developing a set of practices, a set of disciplines, if you want, that allow us to become what God wants us to be, to allow God to slowly begin to work in us, to sculpt us, and to shape us to be what He wants us to be. After Easter, we're going to do a series of sermons on various aspects of that. But this morning, I just thought there's one that's especially true, and that is this idea that we need to practice the presence of God. If we could be aware of God's just presence in our lives, I think that's the underlying and fundamental thing that would change our lives. And I think there's really three things to that. It spells par. You can make any kind of analogy you want out of that. To me, it's just par for the course that we do this. It just helps me to remember. And the first P is for preparation. We need to spend time in His presence. And I think it starts in the morning by acknowledging that God is God and we're not. It starts by reading the Bible and through prayer. It's being aware of God, asking Him, God, today I'm going to be doing a lot of things and I need to be aware of You. Father, can You help me to see with Your eyes and feel with Your heart? Will You help me to hear with Your ears? Would You break my heart with the things that break Your heart, God? And I just wondered, what if we did that? What if for a week even, we just tried to do this? And maybe you do this, but what if you did this even before you checked your phone first thing in the morning to see if any messages had come through or texts or you checked the news or the weather or whatever it is you check, last night's scores? What if before going online we actually checked in with God? And what if we prepared to spend the day with Him? And then what if we paid attention to Him throughout the day? What if we're aware that God was actually with us as we're traveling through the day? What if we just kept reminding ourselves that God was there? You know, in the old monasteries, they used to pray five times a day. They used to ring the bells, and there would be workers in the fields who weren't part of the monastery, but they'd hear the bell, and they'd be reminded, oh, yeah, God is with me. And they'd say that quick prayer, or they'd just be aware for that quick moment that God was there, and they'd be reconnected with God. When we did a youth group in Winnipeg years ago, Don and I, we talked about this, and we said, you know, what if you just, every time you heard a bell at school, you just kind of said a quick prayer, God be with me, remind me that You're here. And in those days, at least in school, you know, they heard a bell every hour of every day they were there. But what, I don't know what your cue is, but what if you could find a cue that would sensitize you to God's presence for this week? Maybe it's just the buzz or the beep of your cell phone as texts and messages come in all day. Maybe it's just breaks during the day where before you take that coffee break or lunch break or whatever it is, you just are reminded. What if maybe just during the commercials you're reminded that God is present? I don't know what your cue is, but I think if we could find a cue that we could link to God, we could actually experience God's presence in the day. And then what if at the end of the day we reflected with God? What if we just sat down for a few minutes before sleep and just said, how did the day go? When were we attentive? When were we aware of God's presence? When did we do stupid stuff and just sort of forget what God that was there? When did we get prompted by God? And when did Satan have his way with us? What could we learn about our awareness of God by reflection? And I wonder if we did that, if we would begin to be able to stop saying to God, Father, we want you to do whatever we ask of you. What if we came to God not on our agenda, but on his? What if we stopped being Herod? You know, hey, walk across my swimming pool. Turn my water into wine. Whatever it is that we want in blessing. What if when we find ourselves in challenge, we don't just fail because we realize God's presence is there. We realize we can depend on him. See, I don't know what your week is going to be like or your month or your year, but I bet you this. I bet you that you're going to go through times where you just feel so blessed that somehow God disappears from your life for a few moments. And I bet you're going to go through times of such challenge where you feel that you're overwhelmed by what's going on. And I think this whole idea of knowing our identity and developing the character that goes with it is what will give us the strength to get through that. I don't know what we're going to face this week, but I do know this, that there's a lot of truth to that old saying that we've got to dig our well before we're thirsty. Before either God blesses us or the challenges come up that overwhelm us, we need to have a strong enough relationship with God through Jesus Christ that we're able to go through those times. I talked to someone at the end of the first service who thought this was about digging oil wells and it was a political statement, but I don't think it is. I think it's all about the fact that God gives us these opportunities when life is somewhat calm to become aware of who he is in our life and who he wants us to become. And that he wants to bless us and deepen our character through these disciplined practices that allow him to do that. Because both blessing and challenge are coming. We know that. And in blessing and in the seeking of blessing, we can actually lose sight of who God really is. And in challenge and the overwhelming challenge, we can lose sight of who God is. But as we get our identity clear as children of God, as our character develops as those who are like Jesus, then I think we begin to see how we can navigate the good and the bad of life. This morning, that kind of whipsaw thing from the challenges of Rwanda to the blessings of a Herod who had everything and didn't have God. This morning, that question, are we the kind of people who are developing the kind of relationship with God that will help us to be his people? Whether life goes in amazing ways or life goes in amazing ways, do we have that presence of God in our lives? Are we being conformed to his image, filled with his spirit, that we can be his people in the midst of it? Or are we going to be the King Herods of the world who don't have that and in the challenges and the blessings struggle equally? Father, this morning we come and we just bow. Father, our desire is to know you, to be like you, to live out our identity as your children that you have called us to. Father, we thank you for all the promises that you make about our lives and all the ways you bless. And Father, we pray, forgive us when our blessings become more important than you. Father, we also thank you for the challenges, for we know that it's in the challenges often that we grow and are drawn back to you. But forgive us for those times when the challenges overwhelm us and we turn our back on you. Father, this week and this Lenten season, we pray, help us to become your people. People who through the practices and disciplines become people who can do more than we thought we were able to do. Who become people who are shaped in the image of Jesus. And Father God, we thank you this morning for the reminder that miracles alone will not solve our problems, that challenges alone will not end our relationship with you. But Father, developing our character and our identity as your children allows us to be your people and allows us to navigate both the heights and the depths of life as it is here on this earth. And so, Father God, we pray, draw us close to you. Make us like Jesus, that we can become in all ways children of the King. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.